The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday evening, and welcome to the program. This is our second broadcast. We were on last Friday night for the first time, and I welcome those of you to the broadcast tonight, whether this is your first time or somehow you've been tracking me for, well, a few years. I've been in LA radio since the mid-90s, and I took a little bit of a stint away for about a year, and now I'm so grateful to be back on. Let me just say this before I get on the air officially and share a little bit of the program. I had a brief moment to speak with Frank Motek out in the hallway, and I've listened to Frank forever. He is a staple in radio, and it's funny. I've been doing this for a while, and I had a little bit of nervousness coming in the studio tonight. It's crazy. I mean, I've probably done hundreds of broadcasts, and to just sit in and see Frank, I'm like, wow, this is a blessing to be on KABC. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm going to open the phone lines in a little while. The numbers are always easy to remember here. They are 800-222-5222. Or if you would like, 800-222-KABC. And I'll open the phone lines a little later in this hour and take some calls. But I want to begin with just a couple of headlines that are breaking today, and then maybe a topic we can get into with calls. Now, I was raised in part on movie sets. My father was in the movie industry. I did some acting. I went to acting school. And really have a love for the medium. And so when you have a favorite character or individual, somehow, and I know that you're tracking with me, you feel as if you know them. And when we see something like a loss, as in the case with James Caan just a couple of days ago, it hits you a certain way. Now, I met him once, but I related to a lot of his characters, and that kind of hit close to home. We've lost another icon in Hollywood today, just a moment or so ago. If you watch The Sopranos, Michael Imperiola has passed away. I believe it's 79. He played Tony Sirico. And why do I say all that? Only because I had a birthday early this week, and it's a reminder that every day is a gift, every day is a blessing, and to not take it for granted, to live life to its fullest. Now, I wish I could tell you I take my own advice every day. That's not the case. There's some days where I'll have a little bit of a down day, or once in a while I'll throw a pity party, you know. But we're our own worst enemy. Pogo once said, "I've seen the enemy and he is me." And so to me, that's just another reality check. Seeing people you identify with, you relate to, pass away. It's like my friends out in our KABC family, life is precious. And I pray that you live it to its fullest. If you have issues, if you have struggles, get help. There's no reason in this day and age not to get some help. Next week, we are bringing on a dear friend of mine as a sponsor, Levique Counseling. Dr. Mark Baker is a dear friend. They have helped scores of people. And I have a penchant for military veterans. Years ago, I did some work with Vietnam vets. I was scheduled to go to Vietnam. It was mandatory draft back then. I didn't know anything about anything. I was set to go in the lottery, and then President Nixon withdrew our troops, and I ended up not going. I did not volunteer for service. If I have any regrets in life, that would be one of them, that I didn't serve my country. And I'm not making excuses, but during my time growing up, Vietnam was not a popular war. And so it wasn't something a lot of people strived to do, to sign up and join the military. But looking back, that's a regret of mine. And I honor anybody listening right now. If you have served, if you are currently serving, if you have friends, relatives, loved ones in the service, thank you for serving our country. This is a great country. And I'm also very grieved by what I see going on in our country. I can be more specific as the program progresses, but let me read a commentary from someone that will really make you think. Now, I'm a deep thinker. I played dumb for a lot of years of my life. I was a jock who just played dumb in school because I found out early on if you excel at scholastics, most of the time your classmates won't like you so much. And so I learned to dumb down and just be a jock, and then everybody liked me. But now in the ensuing years, I'm self-studied. I read a lot. I want to develop my intellect. God has given me a mind. I want to use it and develop it for his glory. So I read a lot of varying sources of information. And let me read this commentary to you. It will make you think at the very least. You may not even agree with any of it, but stay with me. By the way, this is the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KABC. I was on the radio during the onset of COVID, and for the 2 years I went in the studio every day. I had an afternoon program Monday through Friday here in Los Angeles, and I had the option of staying home, but I just sensed deep in my heart to go into work and be behind a microphone. If you don't know, if you're new to my program, I am a self-identified Christian. I even go to the point of saying I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, which is a little different. We can talk more about that. But I saw many people of faith and non-believers go the way of fear during the last 2 years. Now, I want to jump to the commentary and get it in on the break, and maybe on the other side we can take some phone calls. There's a man named Joseph Mercola. I read all of his stuff. He is brilliant. He wrote something recently called "The World is Suffering from Mass Formation." Let me read it in part to you. According to a psychiatrist and medical legal expert, Dr. Mark McDonald, the true public health crisis is not COVID-19 itself. Rather, it's the fear of it, which has morphed and evolved into a form of mass delusional psychosis. There are serious concerns about the lasting effects this widespread insanity will have on children as they grow up. One of the worst traumas children suffer as a result of all of this fear-mongering is the idea that they may kill their own parents or grandparents simply by being around them. Treating the children's trauma in therapy is not going to be enough, as parents and other adults are the ones creating the trauma by their own exaggerated fear response. To heal a generation of traumatized children, we must first address the psychosis of the adult population. Let me stop down there for a moment. Wherever you stand on this issue, I am not here to shame you or guilt trip you. This is my view. I think fear is corrosive, no matter what the fear is of. And this idea of what has been rolled out to us by governments and other entities alike, for me, I was suspicious from the get-go. When we have things like early therapeutics, ways to address this, when I saw that being shut down, and other medical experts of high notoriety being censored, I got suspicious. But again, the fear part, no thank you. I want nothing to do with it. Let me read a little more. A number of mental health experts have expressed concern over the blatant fear and panic mongering during the COVID-19 pandemic, warning about potential, and let's face it, likely, psychiatric effects. In a December 2020 article by someone named S.G. Che, discuss what may in fact be the real problem at hand, what the author called mass insanity caused by delusional fear. Now let me stop right there because we're going to break in a moment. How are you? I drove into work. I live a bit from the station. And again, I'm not here to indict anybody, but I see my share of people driving by themselves in cars with masks on. And my heart just goes out to them. Like, are you really that afraid? But here we are supposedly on the other side for a moment. We have a brief respite. We don't have mandatory mask wearing. Gee, it's an election year. Could that be a coincidence? But how are you? How's your mental well-being? Is fear something that you struggle with? I'd like to hear from you, and maybe we can just have conversations about the state of things. 800-222-5222. We have a wide open board. 800-222-5222. And if you listen to last week's show, I honored Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, a dear friend who treated hundreds and hundreds of people that contracted COVID, and I believe he lost two. He has something called the Zelenko Protocol. So what are we afraid of? Do you live your life to its fullest? Are you holding yourself back? Is this something you care to talk about? I'd love to hear from you. 800-222-5222. You'll talk to Trish tonight. She's the woman that you speak with before you get on the air. Art is behind the board, manning controls. And you are listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm the new guy on the radio station. This is week number two. I know that maybe some of you have tuned in to hear another program. I hope and pray that you'll give me a listen for a little while. You're welcome to call the program. We have discussions. I'm one of those that have the audacity to believe that even if we disagree about things, we can have a conversation. And at the very least, agree to disagree. I'm greatly concerned about the state of our culture and cancel culture. And boy, it's either my way or the highway. And we don't even have any kind of debate or discussion about things we may or may not agree or disagree about anymore. And I really honestly believe I'm fair. So if you're new to the program, you don't have to agree on everything I say. I change my mind from time to time. I challenge the way I think and view things. So just know, in my heart of hearts, you're welcome to call the program. If we have a particular topic that we're discussing, please call and we can have a few moments on the air and exchange our thoughts on the topic at hand. Numbers are always the same, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Let me give a quick shout out to one of my sponsors. I am so grateful to be on the air, thanks in part to Ken and Tina Starr from Home Comfort USA. Now, it's hot. It was 90s today. I was at Home Comfort USA Wednesday at headquarters in Orange County, and they've got kind of an overstock situation of some great Lennox AC. And if you are in line thinking about maybe you want to update, reach out to Home Comfort USA. You'll get $2,000 cash back, no payments for a year, easy financing. They are wonderful people. 888-862-1929, or in this day and age, probably just as easy, if not more, go to homecomfortusa.com. We were talking about fear in the first segment. Joseph Mercola has a commentary that you can find at the Epic Times on what he calls, well, insanity or mass formation. Let's take a couple of calls, and then I will circle back. And did I say circle back? Look, let me just say this quickly. I actually miss Jen Psaki. Who we have now? Oh, all right. That's all I'm going to say. And that's not a teaser on radio. I'm not inviting you to call and talk about that, but I embrace, I'm one about truth. It drives me nuts when people pass the buck or they say they don't know, or in this day and age that we live right now, lies are being purported as truth. And I know there are scores of people, they hear something coming out of the present administration or whoever's in a position of authority, and you go, well, that's not true. Truth is of the essence. You know, one of the founding documents of our great country said, we the people. It is about us, believe it or not. We have a line open, 800-222-5222. 5222. Let's talk to Eric in Compton. Eric, you are on the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KBC. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, I just want to say, I just found out you're back on the radio. I missed last week, but I just called to say welcome back. I'm glad you're back. And I missed you.
Well, I appreciate that. I missed being on the air. Have we ever had any conversation before on any of my other programs?
Oh, Eric from Compton, you don't remember me?
Oh, now I do. Yeah, sure.
You actually found an email I sent you kind of late, and you did send me an email back saying you're sorry. You apologized that you didn't see it earlier, and you suggested maybe we could meet one day. But, yeah, I'm Eric from Compton. I was the guy who kind of knows where they're headed with all this COVID and where they're trying to take us. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to, you know, upset people, but I used to tell you that the information is that people can find out, and I was very disappointed at the ignorance that's out there, because the information is there if you take the time to research it.
Well, my brother, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is ignorance.
Yeah, and I just want, you know what, before we hang up, I just want to quote one scripture, Frank. Isaiah 5:20, I think, says, "Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good, who substitute righteousness for unrighteousness, or unrighteousness, who call evil good." And we're living in a country now, I love America, it's still the best thing going as far as I'm concerned, but they're actually calling evil good. And good, evil, and my heart just breaks, but my job is just to occupy until he comes. So
amen. And keep, standing
and I will be calling in the future.
I appreciate it, Eric. Thanks for calling, and keep standing for truth with a capital T. Joey is in Orange County. Joey, you are on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Frank. I wondered what happened to you, because I used to listen to you on that other station.
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
Wondered, what happened to Frank Sontag?
Yeah.
He disappeared on me. And then so I accidentally found you today, and I'm happy to know that it's only your second week, but I accidentally found you. I'm so happy you're back.
Well?
But to get back to the fear question, I am old, and I have underlying issues, and I have not been afraid of COVID at all. The whole time, and I felt so grateful for that, because fear is a terrible emotion. It's terrible to live with fear, and for some reason, you know, I was just not afraid of it. I go to the store, you know, I wore a mask to be polite, because it seemed to freak people out if you didn't wear a mask, but I didn't need to wear a mask for me. I just was at peace with the whole thing throughout the whole thing.
Joey, it is very good to hear from you. You said you're old. I don't believe that for a moment. I think your best days are ahead of you, and I hope and pray we can have many more conversations on my new program here on KBC.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but I don't disagree with anything you've said so far.
Uh-oh.
I'm in full agreement with you. That I mean, I'm so sorry to say that, because people always like to hear something somebody disagree with them, but I am 100% with what you'd said, and praise God, you know, I'm just a grateful Christian.
Well, thank you, and I'll do my best to maybe say something you disagree with.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Joey. God bless you. Thank you for calling. You know, speaking of truth, there is a story in the news about a satirical website. Have you followed, y'all know the Babylon Bee? The Babylon Bee is a satirical Christian website where they poke fun at everybody and everything. And the CEO, Seth Dillon, I kind of know. My old program, I had some folks on from the Babylon Bee. They got in hot water with Twitter. By the way, did you hear? It's the end of the world. Elon Musk is backed out of buying Twitter. And some people are just undone, like, I can't believe he did that. Now what am I going to do? Really? Twitter is all that? I just need 5 minutes to go on Twitter. I am on Twitter. I'm not one of these guys that hide out and, oh, I can't get involved in the world. But I go on Twitter for about 5 minutes, and I'm like, we are really an angry, nasty culture, at least those that make their voices loud on Twitter. So Elon Musk has backed out $44 billion. Seth Dillon, again, from the Babylon Bee, did an interview about their satire and their news website. He says, the goal of Babylon Bee is to show the irrationality of the popular narratives that pervade modern culture by making jokes about the issue of the time. And again, they joke about everything, even themselves. Dillon said, quote, rationality itself is under attack. It's not just free speech. There are people who have abandoned rationality on purpose and are trying to get you to go along with agreeing with them that 2 and 2 equals, yep, 5. Dillon's goal with the Babylon Bee, he says, is to make people laugh and question their own thinking. He said they've been attacked as being fake news, banned on social platforms, subjected to fact checks. Twitter actually blocked them because they posted something when the whole "what is a woman" thing happened. And they, I thought it was actually very funny. They had Rachel Levine, you know, the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health. They posted, he claims to identify as a woman. They posted him, the Babylon Bee honored him as Man of the Year. And for that, they got a timeout. Thinking about satire and humor, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to be in big trouble. I have a very good friend who just earlier, preparing for the show when I was reading the article on the Babylon Bee, he is a very, very high-profile comedian. There would be some of you out there that would know him. I'm going to invite him in the studio in the next month or so and just sit down and talk about humor and how it's evolved and his journey. He's gone through quite a bit. I don't want to say who he is. First of all, I want to make sure he can come in. But safe to say there are many of you that would know who he is. And to make your living at being a comedian, I hearken back to the days where I was a big fan of George Carlin, who constantly honed his act and worked hard to present things and make you think. It wasn't just cheap, crass humor. But when it comes to satire and a site like the Babylon Bee, I'm here to tell you, if you don't know of it, track them down. You should have a few laughs by what they are attempting to do indeed. 800-222-5222. Hey, speaking of tracking down, I'm not really good at this. I am on social media, as I made mention, I'm on Twitter. If you want to follow us, if you want to get on my mailing list, an easy site, franksontag.com. If you want a podcast from this program, you can go to kbc.com or also go to my website. Podcasts are up pretty quick. Get on our email list. I wrote a book a number of years ago called Light the Way Home. The foreword was written by my dear friend Lee Strobel. Some of you, if you're a Christian, you would know who Lee is. So if you're on Instagram, Facebook, you can find us. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think of the show. When we continue, we're going to talk about an emotion that's called anger and the constructive aspect of being passionate. What does that mean? Stick around. More of the Frank Sontag Show is next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are here every Friday evening now from 7 until 9, and I am grateful to be back on the airwaves. Part of the way in which I'm back on the airwaves is because I have some very kind people in my life and some sponsors. I want to quickly give a shout out to Phil Liberatore from the IRS Problem Solvers. Phil actually is a guy I've known since high school. And let me just talk with you for a moment about, oh, it's a word. Whenever I hear the word taxes, I even wince. But we file, right? You should file. So if you're listening to me right now and you've got some tax woes or concerns, or if you just want to have another look from an objective source, somebody that's been doing this for decades, I cannot recommend Phil Liberatore highly enough. Truth be told, years ago, I got audited And I had a little bit of a blip. The IRS kind of docked me, and Phil set up a payment plan. He's a wonderful man. If you file taxes and you have little peace of mind, reach out to Phil. He'll take care of you, I promise. A couple ways you can reach out to him. You can go to his website, stopirspain.com, or you can call 877-6-SOLVER, S-O-L-V-E-R. Phil Liberatore and IRS Problem Solvers will indeed stop IRS pain. Welcome back to the broadcast. You ever get angry? I do, and I'm a follower of Christ, and sometimes we hear you're not supposed to get angry. The Bible talks about righteous indignation. But I find anger as being a very interesting emotion, and times have changed. I made mention of earlier, it's being reported we lost actor Michael Imperiola, who has passed away. James Caan passed away the other day. And I really love good movies. Now, that was a movie a few years ago that I even wonder if it could be shown in the movie theater now. And there is a scene I want to play for you where one of the main characters not only gets angry and righteously indignant, but he speaks to things like leadership. He speaks to things like manhood. What movie am I talking about? This is Scent of a Woman.
Mr. Sims, you are a cover-up artist and you are a liar.
But not a snitch.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think I will.
Mr. Slade.
This is such a crock of ish.
Please watch your language, Mr. Slade. You are in the Barrett School, not a barracks. Mr. Sims, I will give you one final opportunity to speak up.
Mr. Sims doesn't want it. He doesn't need to be labeled still worthy of being a bad man. What the hell is that? What is your motto here? Boys, inform on your classmates. Save your hide. Anything short of that, we're going to burn you at the stake? Well, gentlemen, when the shit hits the fan, some guys run and some guys stay. Here's Charlie facing the fire, and there's George hiding in Big Daddy's pocket. And what are you doing? You're going to reward George and destroy Charlie.
Are you finished, Mr. Slade?
No, I'm just getting warmed up. I don't know who went to this place. William Howard Taft, William Jennings Bryan, William Tell, whoever. Their spirit is dead, if they ever had one. It's gone. You're building a rat ship here. A vessel for seagoing snitches. And if you think you're preparing these minnows for manhood, you better think again. Because I say you are killing the very spirit this institution proclaims it instills. What a sham. What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today? I mean, the only class in this act is sitting next to me, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable. You know how I know? Someone here, and I'm not going to say who, offered to buy it. Only Charlie here wasn't selling.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
This is the Frank Sontag Show, a scene from Scent of a Woman. And before I comment on that, let me just tell you, let's see, I've been on the air for a show and an hour, and I already made a mistake. And that's why I appreciate live talk radio. We've had some calls. I misstated who passed away from The Sopranos. I said Michael Imperiola. It wasn't him. It was Tony Sirico, who oftentimes related with Michael. So my bad. My apologies. Michael Imperiola is alive and well. We lost Tony Sirico. Okay. I'm glad I got that. And thank you for correcting me. You're always welcome to correct me. So let me get back to the scene from Scent of a Woman and some thoughts. So if you've not seen the movie, Al Pacino plays a high-up retired military. I don't know if he was a general or a corporal. I don't know the rank, but his name is Frank Slade, blind and has seen a lot in his life. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the first movie for the young actor who played opposite him, who I'm blanking on. You'll call. But the point of playing it is, not only did that kind of anger, Chris O'Donnell, thank you. I think that was Chris O'Donnell's first movie. But that kind of anger, when you hear that, let's get some calls. What do you think of that kind of anger? Inappropriate, over the top, screaming about taking a flamethrower to this place? You know, it's almost as if that level of masculinity isn't embraced in our culture anymore. Like, oh, he's very emotional. He's kind of lost it a little bit. When I saw that movie a number of years ago, when I watch it now or when I listen to that clip, that speaks to me as a man. God made men to be men. And we live in this time where gender neutrality and 57 zillion different genders and all the things we navigate through and all the things we put our young children through. Like you wake up one day and you and I don't mean to sound facetious or insensitive, but look, I'm a follower of Christ. The Bible says there are male and female, period. God made men to be men, to be protectors, to be leaders, and wired a certain way. And women are wired a certain way. The Bible talks about man and woman equal, but different in so many ways. And when I hear that clip from Al Pacino, my goodness gracious, what do you think about that? Have you ever seen that movie? I know that... We have some young listeners, maybe you've not heard of Scent of a Woman. Even this day and age with the political correctness, the cancel culture, a few years ago, the Me Too, you know, he was kind of like the chauvinist. Like, you know, those men, there's nothing redeemable about them. And I say that's nonsense. I would hope and pray that more men would step up. We'll talk a bit about taking a stand, counting the cost in a little while. I think we have a crisis of manhood in our country, and masculinity is under attack. Let's talk to Tim in Culver City. Tim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. He's not yet. How about George in Pasadena? I thought I got a signal to take Tim. George, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Well, hello there, Frank.
Hello there, George.
I just wanted to I was actually calling before the topic came up because I just wanted to welcome you to your new home. I actually didn't know you were on. I was just I was getting ready to leave for the evening, and I was just channel surfing, getting ready, and I was like, "Oh my God, is that Frank Sontag?" It's like, "Whoa!" And it was like it made me wish that instead of last week, watching Ocean's 11 on PBS, I'd been listening to you instead. Thing is, it's wild because you've been all over the dial now. Because I trace back, I can remember, I think it was a 1985, as a 19-year-old guy listening to a Michael Benner on a rock station, and he introduced you, and it's like, you know, you've come a long way from back then to where you are now, and it's been great.
George, I appreciate that. I have to break here in a moment. Let me just respond to something you said, and please call again. I'd love to talk with you more. I have been in radio for 35-plus years, and I have been around the dial. One of the many blessings that I sense being back here on KABC, it's almost like I've come back home. My first gig was at KLOS. KABC was in the same building, and now here I am back full circle, grateful to be part of such a magnificent radio station. And I hope and pray that as we continue on Friday evenings, that we can grow this, that we can learn from each other, that we can bless each other, we can challenge each other. That is my hope and prayer and the reason why I am thrilled to be back on the air here on KABC. We're going to get to Tim on the other side. You are welcome to call as well, 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. If you'd like to call in, if you've got some comments, questions, you want to respond to the topic of anger, or maybe the movie Scent of a Woman specifically, maybe you have a thought or two, I'd embrace your calls. We will continue with more. Thank you for listening to this, The Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to The Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We've got a number of callers on hold, and I've got topics at hand. The good news is we have the second hour. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about electric vehicles, right? The end all, the answer to everything, to climate change and global warming. Yeah, okay. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bible. There's a study out, a new Gallup poll. 20% of American adults believe that the Bible is absolutely the literal word of God. Now, if you're a non-believer, I'm not going to pound you over the head with the Bible. I am a follower of Christ. I believe his word is inerrant. But I want to talk a bit from a spiritual perspective. That'll be next hour. And couple of other interesting stories I want to throw your way. But in the moments we have in this final segment of this hour, let's take some calls. And we actually have a couple of people from San Clemente. Let's talk to Tim in Culver City first. Tim, you are on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Like everybody else, I share the sentiment welcoming you back. But I want to get to this really quick because I want to hear as much as you have to say on it. And also, I want to preface this with, it's so good to hear that people coming from places on the radio where you wouldn't necessarily even expect it now are talking about things spiritual, you know, and about God and prayer and whatnot. Anyway, but kind of the fear and the anger, I think this one bridges both. You know, it doesn't seem to matter how much gets put, how much hypocrisy, how much double standard, even legality, and how much illogical garbage comes out in government as gospel. It just doesn't, no matter how much it's pointed out and the lights shine on it like roaches, it doesn't matter. They just keep going ahead with it. And if you don't like it now, you can even not just get canceled, you can actually, you know, run into legal trouble. And I think this is really, you know, it angers a lot of people, but the other people just fold back and say, well, you know, I got my bills to pay, and I got this to do, and I got that to, and before long, they'll be bending to the social credit score. Just because, you know, kind of like get along to go along, but you got a lot to sacrifice. Your kids, your job is, you know, whatever. And that's all I have to say, and I can't wait till maybe next week or on another show you also talk about the, you know, the great reset.
Oh, yeah. Tim, thank you. Let me respond to your call and thank you for the kind comments. I am one. I do not believe what seems to be the logic behind what's being pushed upon the masses. Let me say it a different way. I've always been one that comes from the school of thought that there is immense power in the individual. One person. We can name people in history that have done tremendous and enacted tremendous change societally, and they were just one person. So that's a roundabout way of saying, I don't believe that the masses are that ignorant. Now, how do we process our anger and communicate? That's a story for another time. But I'll say it this way. I think we're on the precipice of being awake like never before. I'm excited about the times, especially the fact that I'm a follower of Christ. God puts a power in me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I have a discernment, and I look around, and I think people, maybe even 2 years ago, that bought into so much of the initial hysteria and fear, they're like, no, I'm not so sure I buy certain things now. And we're getting our wits back about us. I honestly could do a 10-minute diatribe right now, but I don't want to do that. Let me take a couple more calls. Gil is in San Clemente. Gil, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. Being a man seems to be dismissive of a woman's feelings. In other words, well, why are you crossing that boundary? You know, why are you doing that thing? You know, there's a lot of confusion or commotion about the sexuality of people. Like you said, a man is the man. I mean, I'd say a woman's a lot stronger than a man, to be honest with you. You have to put up with us, the kids, and all the other physiological things they have to go through. This is a problem. Our society is completely, completely changing this idea of having somebody tell us what to do. You know, we're going to have to figure this thing out ourselves.
I would concur 100%. I like when you said we have to figure this thing out ourselves. And I think that's the truth of it. I think the tendency is to look at others or somehow people in positions of authority or leadership, like they have so much power. No, uh-uh. That's why I love the Bible so much. The Bible says that where two or more are gathered in prayer, God hears your prayer. And by the way, God's not missing any of this. But I think the times are challenging for those to really step forward and find out where we stand. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll talk to Greg in San Clemente as well. In the spring of 2020, when COVID started, after a period of time when there was so much fear out there, I got the sense that, for me personally speaking, I'm going to find out what I'm really made of, right? It kind of flushed things out. We're seeing a winnowing effect. And I don't like analogies necessarily, but what comes to mind is when you refine gold, the dross is burned away and the purity comes to the top. This is what's going on in our culture right now. People are waking up. People are finding their voice. And part of the way you find your voice is you stand up and you speak. We live in a post-truth world right now. And that doesn't mean somehow that objective truth is less relevant. Maybe I'll share a little bit more on the other side in hour number two. Greg in San Clemente, you're on the Frank Sontag Show here on 790 KBC. Greg, how are you?
I'm good, Frank. I was driving down the street and I heard you say Frank Sontag on 790, and I was so stoked to hear your voice. It's been a long time. I used to listen to you a long time ago when you were on the late night. I think it was KLOS. Anyways, my question is, right now, you know, let's just take America, for example. Everything is so polarized. Where do you see things going in the next couple of years? Because it seems like we've not gone past the point of no return. There's so much hatred with things.
Well, let me respond, Greg. Thank you. And yeah, it was late night on KLOS way back when. I'm glad you found me. I wrote a book a few years ago. If you don't know, you can get through my website, franksontag.com, if you really want to see some great stories. We put it in the book. But here's my thought on what you said. I don't think we've passed the point of no return. I don't think we're as polarized as people lead on. Now, I think there are some people that they have a social media account, and those that scream the loudest, the perception is somehow there's a lot of them. I don't believe that for a moment. I believe in eternal truth that is unshakable. And when you stand for truth in your life and lead accordingly, we're all made in the image of the Creator, whether you identify as somebody that embraces faith, or you're agnostic, or you're an atheist. Maybe we can talk about that in future programs. And here's something you may or may not know. I was a New Age teacher for 20 some odd years. I was a relativist. I did not believe in absolute truth. Heck, I the thought of me becoming a follower of Jesus as a New Age guru, I used to hang up on people on my late night show. I was spiritual, but not religious. God got a hold of me in 2009. If he can get a hold of me, boy, guess what? But I'm excited about what is to come. Sometimes you have to go through tougher times to develop strength and go through adversity to find out what you're about. Here I go with another analogy. Do you know the darkest part of the day is right before the dawn? I'm not playing, you know, positivity here and put a nice little bow on things. I'm a realist, man. Evil doesn't even mask itself anymore. But I think we have an opportunity to say no. No, evil does not win. We talked about manhood a little bit earlier. Men taking ground back, becoming protectors. I started a men's ministry 7 years ago. You can find out more by going to my website, franksontag.com. Get involved. All right, I hear the bumper music. Hour number two is upon us. We're going to talk a little bit about electric vehicles, the environment, absolute truth, the Bible, and we'll take your phone calls at 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. I am back on the airwaves. Please get on our mailing list. Follow us on social media. I'm thrilled to be here. This is our second show. My hope and prayer is the second show, one of many. Every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, spread the word. You can also listen to us outside of L.A., obviously, streaming live 24/7 at KABC.com. This is The Frank Sontag Show.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore. The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome. Hour number two of this, The Frank Sontag Show. If you're just tuning in, welcome. Spend some time with us. If you're new to the program, well, we're new to KBC. We started last Friday. This is our second program. And maybe some of you that have been in Southern California for a little bit of time, you recognize me. I've been in radio on and off for, well, a few years. And I'm thrilled to be back here on KABC. I mentioned I'm on social media. I've gotten some messages from people listening wanting to know a little bit more about my book and my ministry, so I'll be very brief. I'm very bad at self-promoting. A number of years ago, I became a follower of Christ. I've not really shared my testimony on the air. I think I'll do that next week. I got radically saved. I was a New Age guru. For 21 years, I had a late-night program, and God got a hold of me, turned my life upside down. I've never been the same. I praise him for it. He saved me from myself. And so I ventured forward. I went to a university in Orange County. I wanted to become a little bit more astute, theologically speaking. So I took some graduate courses in the Bible, and shortly thereafter, I took over a radio program here in Southern California, afternoons on a Christian station. Some of you may have listened to me. I was at that station for 8.5 years, left in July of last year. When I became a follower of Christ, one of the things I did, I started reading books. I read three books that really turned me upside down, as well as what happened. I had an encounter with the risen Savior. I'll tell you about it next week. But I want to try to be as brief as I can here. I read three books. I read a book called The Case for Christ by a man named Lee Strobel. Some of you know who Lee is. I read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, and a book called More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. After those three books and the encounter I had, that was it. Done deal. Follower of Jesus as long as he gives me breath. Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, was an eye-opener for me. If you've not read it, you may be agnostic, you may be atheist, you may think Christians are, well, fill in the adjective. We are sinners. We are hypocrites. I praise God for the cross of Christ. But Lee Strobel's book, The Case for the Christ, Lee was an atheist. He started out after his wife became a Christian. He wanted to annihilate Christianity, and he was a journalist, a researcher. He was an award-winning journalist at the Chicago Tribune, I believe. And after a period of a number of months, The Case for Christ ended up being the aftermath of what he originally started out in an attempt to annihilate Christianity. Well, he became saved. He became a follower of Christ. I read that book. Very methodical. And it really changed my view and was impactful in my new life as a Christian. So when I took over this other radio program, I, through the publishing company of the book, I sent an email, a generic email to the publishing company. And a short time later, I got a message from Lee Strobel saying he had been following me. Thankfully, I became a Christian. Let's have lunch. And we ended up, I think it was about 2 months later, had lunch, 3 hours. He says, you need to write your book. Well, I'm not going to write a book. There's enough books of transformation out there. All we need is another book. He said, you need to write it. So at his urging and prompting, I wrote Light the Way Home is the name of my book. And when I was done, I asked him if he would write the foreword. And Lee, in the way that only Lee could respond, he said, Frank, you know, I know we're friends, but I have a lot of people ask me to write things, and I can't do that. But send me your book, and we'll go from there. And I did. And a number of weeks went by, never heard from him. And I'm like, you know, I get it. Okay, that's fine. And then literally we were on a publishing deadline, and I think it was 2 days before we were to go to print, Lee wrote the foreword of my book. So I'm grateful to Lee Strobel and the book. We hope and pray it addresses the new age. You may be in the new age. You may have a family member. New age is dabbling in a lot of stuff we should not be involved with. We're going to do programs on this in the coming weeks and months. Christians should not be doing things like, oh, I don't know, going to a psychic for a reading. There's a lot of things where I believe when we talk about the spiritual realm, it exists, and there is something called spiritual warfare. And I opened up a lot of stuff as a New Age guru. Put it in the book. The book was published. It did quite well in the first year on Amazon, and then shortly thereafter, I actually pulled it from Amazon for, do I need to tell you the reasons why I'm not a fan of Amazon? So we just have it on our website, on my ministry site, franksontag.com. So for the six of you that email me, that's the lowdown on my book. Just go to my site. And as far as my ministry goes, I have a men's ministry. We do events. We do retreats. We have a retreat coming up in October. We do Bible studies, leadership classes. We have something called the Seven Pillars. We have counseling that we can refer you to. I mean, we're just here as a resource for you to navigate through some of the more difficult times in your life. And as far as men and the topic of manhood goes, we're at the forefront challenging men to step up and discovering their purpose and their plan that God has for their lives. We have an event September 24th in Thousand Oaks. We're going to be in Phoenix in November. So just go to franksontag.com. Get on our mailing list. We send an email out every couple of weeks. And listen to this program. You'll be able to find the podcast shortly after we're done on my website, also on kbc.com. And get involved. We would love to hear from you and let us know what you think of the program. Let us talk to Clark in Garden Grove. Clark, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, thank you, Frank. Been a fan of you for a long, long time. You're very insightful. When you speak, you have a calmness about a lot of stuff. But what I wanted to talk to you about was I've been married for 25 years. I have a single daughter who is in college, and she's rebelling against a lot of things with society, you know, everything going on in this world.
Sure.
And real quick, and I know my time is short, but tonight she asked me to fill up her mom's bicycle tire. Anyway, her friends pulled up, and I'm talking to her friends, just having a little good time, and she got mad at me for just communicating with her friends. Okay. And I get it. She's 19. And my dad used to always say, the anger comes on like a gust of wind. Either it's going to hit your sail or you're going to turn it and let it go past you. And it's getting to the point where there's so much going on in this world, but there's so much negativity and all the shootings and homelessness and people leaving California and negativity. And then I stopped and thought about it for a second. It's what you said before, and I know you've said this. It's being able to just stay within yourself within a moment. And there's so many moments within our day. Mm-hmm. To be able to just thank God that I can recognize evil or I can recognize negativity. And I just smiled, like my dad used to say, just smile at them. Smile with your eyes and don't respond.
Yeah.
That's one part. Second part I wanted to talk to you about was...
Brief if you can. I've got a break shortly.
Okay. I'm going to be real quick. It's just, how do you feel about that instant anger that comes on? And there's so much to be angry about.
Yeah.
There's so much going on in this world that I turn to Christ and I just say, like my mom used to always say, dear Lord, help me get through this.
Yeah. Let me, Clark, respond quickly and call back. We can maybe pick up where we left off. Let me just give you 60 seconds on this, which does not even begin to scratch the surface. So let me try it this way. If I don't in the morning start my day off in my time of devotion and quiet time as a Christian, reading the Bible, etc., prayer, maybe you're spiritual, you know, you go for your walks, meditation. If you don't load your spiritual tank in the morning, good luck. You know, anger is something that pops up at the blink of an eye. But when we talk about being grounded, and the Bible talks about being discerning and having a spiritual acumen, you wake up in the morning, you have breakfast. How's your day if you don't eat in the morning, right? We feed our bodies. Do we feed our minds? Very few people read. But when it comes to your spiritual body, your spiritual acumen, you've got to start out. Priority, discipline. And maybe on the other side, I'll kind of pick up where I left off. But yeah, the world is, it seems like it's going the way of madness, but that doesn't mean we have to partake in it. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. We're going to talk about electric vehicles and the environment and global warming and the drought and take your calls next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're going to discuss a little bit about the electric grid and electric vehicles and green energy in a moment. But if you have listened to any of the program last week or this week, I talk a lot about masculinity and manhood. I have a men's ministry. And so that being said, I'm going to scream the praises of one of my dearest friends who does something. You may go, wait a minute, that's far from masculinity. Hear me out. There is a wonderful place in Pasadena called Rejuvie U. Dr. John Shea and his wife, Floy, are some of my best friends, my wife and I. And when I first heard about Rejuvie U, I instantly went to, oh, okay, aesthetics and beauty and women's stuff and no thank you. And then I got to meet Dr. Shea, and we sat down, talked about our faith and a lot of other things. And I realized that was so contrary to what they do there. They're about healing. And he did a trivia on me. First thing, I didn't know this. The largest organ in the body is, you ready? Your skin. And what they do at Rejuvenu, they're about healing and repairing and restoring. It's an amazing place. So if you're a woman and you want to, you know, kind of get your look done, and they do other things like PRP. I played basketball for years, and my knees sometimes act up, and I get a PRP injection, shoulder, knees. They do phenomenal stuff. I'm thrilled that John is letting me do some promoting of their wonderful, I think it's a ministry. Rejuvenu is in Pasadena. If you want to find out more about what they do, call them, 626-551-4800. 626-551-4800, and I hope to have John in studio sometime next month. It is an amazing place. They're amazing people, and you will benefit greatly by finding out more about the great work that they do at Rejuvenu. Okay, shall we begin this one? We live in California, and we are bombarded with this thing called the drought, right? You may live in a community where they're telling you now you can only water once a week. Brown lawns everywhere. We hear over and over, constantly, every year, it's a drought. And now the big push is electric vehicles. And I'm not even going to go nationally with the present administration and what they're doing, cutting back on. We were energy independent under the previous administration. Now pipelines are being shut down. It's just madness. But I want to talk specifically about two things, water and electricity. And I don't want to sound arrogant here, but venture to guess, you're going to find out some stuff now you didn't know. So let's start with the drought in California, right? We hear so much about it. Do you know that every year on average, we get enough rainfall by which we use a very small portion of it for things like, you know, home use, showers, the lawn. But you hear, got to cut back, fines. The average year of California rainfall is 200 million acre feet of fresh water. Stay with me. On average, that water is enough to supply the annual needs of 400 million households. About 1.2 billion people. But of that huge supply, get ready, in California, only 20 million acre feet are utilized. What happens to the remainder of it? It goes back out into the Pacific Ocean. Why? In large part because environmentalists refuse to allow additional storage lakes to be built. Of the 20 million acre feet on average that we have here in California every year that's captured, 15 million goes for agriculture, only 5 million is allotted for residential use. In other words, about 2.5% of California's fresh water supply is directly used by households. And yet, you know the outcry, limit your household usage. Now, I don't want to sound flippant like somehow there's not a drought. But I want you to know the will of the bureaucrats and the power elites of government. They have no interest, partially because of environmentalism, partially because, well, you know, a lot of this is about making money. But it just goes back out into the ocean. Let me throw another interesting thought to you. Have you ever been to Israel? Do you know what Israel does for water? They have desalination plants. Oh, I'm sorry. the California coast. What's out there? We have the Pacific Ocean. But yet we're in a drought. And you better not take a long shower. You better not water your lawn, right? Now, I say all that's because I'm one. I want to inform you. I want to help educate you. I want to challenge you. You need to find this for yourself. But don't be a parent and go along with, we're in a drought. It's really bad. And you're driving on the freeway and you see the signs one day a week. I could share so much information with you that may really, you would be incensed by the end of the broadcast if I spend 30 minutes on the issue of the drought and what we do. And this is decades old. This is a heated water battle in California. This has been going on for a long time. The religion of radical environmentalism is alive and well. And here's the irony. I was a radical environmentalist in my previous life. I believed you only have 10 years if you don't turn it around. We were talking this way in the 80s and 90s. And then we get to the electric vehicle thing, right? Let me say one last thing about water. Do you know who William Gould was? He's rolling over in his grave. William Gould was a retired CEO of Southern California Edison, the father of the Western power grid. In 1984, at a summit with environmental leaders in Salt Lake City, everything went sideways. And the environmentalists had enough laws on the books to hinder any development of any new power plants. You know, the grid in California, we have these things called brownouts. You're being pushed now, electric vehicle. Gas is obscene. Green energy. I think I've got a couple minutes. Let me read a little bit of this. Again, this is just food for thought. You find out for yourself. The green energy policy that's being pushed now in our country, part of it, the Biden administration is following Germany's lead. Germany has been at the forefront of like wind and solar, reducing carbon footprint. Last month, the Biden administration invoked the Defense Production Act to increase the production of green energy, to replace the use of fossil fuels, you know, clean energy. We're heading for some dark waters here. Germany has been at the forefront of doing this, and now they're in trouble because things like wind and solar, they're seasonal. They're seasonable. It's hard to store this kind of energy. It costs Germany a great deal to maintain such an excess of installed power. The average cost of electricity now for German households has doubled in the last 20 years because they're dependent on green energy. I could just give you facts, but let me say one last thing. When you hear about the carbon footprint, do you know where I'm going? Some of the loudest voices in positions of power, they go and they fly to these summits in their nice little private jets, talking about how you peon, you're not allowed. Right? We saw some of this with COVID, where they say one thing and do another. Gavin Newsom's in, where is he, Wyoming now? Oh, my goodness. But here's the deal. I don't want to just breed dissension. I want to breed thought that's clear and pristine by which we have something to do in terms of action steps. Part of it starts with your own mental well-being. Don't get all wound up about this stuff. Don't get distracted. We live in a spirit of delusion and distraction right now. That's not God's plan for your life. God wants you to get up in the morning excited about your life. Understand the blessings you have and all of the gifts that you have. God made you like nobody else. You're unique and different. Life is supposed to be exciting and adventurous. Take a risk. Get out of your comfort zone. But don't buy into the distraction and don't get me going on cell phones and social media. You want to talk about distraction. Electric vehicles. We'll talk about on the other side. Oh, just get an electric vehicle. Do you know that stereotypical automobiles are much better for the environment in so many ways than an electric vehicle? Really? Well, I'll tell you some specifics when we continue next. This is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is a band called Striper. And when I became a follower of Christ, my background being in the rock and roll industry, I was so gullible and naive. I had no idea that there was like great hard rock and roll Christian based. In fact, I got to know a man named John Cooper, who's the lead singer. Oh, he has a little band. You may have heard of them. And yes, we can play loud rock and roll and honor God as one and the same. Welcome back to the broadcast. I have three things running in my head at once. First of all, let's get to electric vehicles. And I'll be very brief. I want to take some calls too. The batteries in electric vehicles are very dangerous to the environment. Now, I know that's not the buzz you're going to get. You don't hear that, right? It takes 9 years for an electric car to be greener than a diesel car. Electric vehicle batteries last between 10 and 20 years. To make an electric vehicle battery, you need lithium, nickel, cobalt, manganese, and graphite, among others. 9 years. Not stuff that you want to put back in the environment. And to mill it, the mining of the materials is energy intensive, ironically enough. Can also be devastating to the environment. Lithium, for example, comprises about 1% of the rock from which it's mined. So imagine that. That causes a lot of destruction of large swaths of land in the mining process in order to extract a little bit of lithium. Lithium and copper mining require huge amounts of water, straining natural resources. Cobalt is often mined by child slave labor in Africa. And the refining process releases toxic heavy metals and other pollutants into the soil and water. We don't hear this when we just hear, oh, buy an electric vehicle. Here's the last part. Who benefits most in the world economy when it comes to some of these specific materials? The Democratic Republic of the Congo and China. They together control a majority of the production of many essential renewable energy minerals. China's share of refining is around 35% for nickel, 50 to 70% for lithium and cobalt, 90% for rare earth elements. Yes, that means China is getting rich off the production of electric vehicles. Now, let me say one last thing. Am I against EVs? No. If you want to buy an electric vehicle, so be it. What I am against is this mindset that it's all or nothing, or that you have to pay the price because you want to drive your Ford 250 or you got a nice Silverado or whatever. That somehow you are endangering the future of your children because the environment in 10 years is going to be gone because we've got global warming. What a bunch of hooey. Think for yourself. The people that often beat the drum of fear-mongering Look at the way they live their lives. If I see John Kerry one more time flying his private jet, chastising us that somehow we're too dumb to know how to help preserve the earth, and they have the audacity to say that human beings can end life on earth, it to me, as a follower of Christ, is just a slap in the face to God. And God's just going, yeah, okay. So there are some of my thoughts on electric vehicles. I'm going to take a call, and later in this hour, I want to honor teachers. There's a story in the news. I would say it's almost too hard to believe. Shocking, but in this day and age, it's not. And there was a Supreme Court ruling that helped a football coach that I've covered his story. We want to make sure and make mention of that. But let me take a call on the screen. Let's talk to Conard in Cyprus. Conard, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. So nice to hear you again.
Thank you.
Do you remember me? We met at the Los Alamitos racetrack many years ago when you had a horse called Who You Foolin' Running.
I barely remember meeting you. I still have Fooley. He's 15. We keep him at a nice little ranch out in Fillmore. And I barely have that memory of meeting somebody, and I guess it was you. So
yeah, let me refresh you a little bit. So I came out there. I was looking in the racing program, thinking, this owner's listed as Frank Sontag. I wonder if that's my buddy from the Impact show that I hear all the time.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I went out there, and you're kind of a tall guy, and I picked you out, introduced myself, and you were very gracious with your time, and we spoke for quite a while on a multitude of topics.
And that had to be probably 10 years or so ago.
Oh, it was a long time ago. And Then also another time I was there and I met your lovely family.
Yes, thank you. I do have a lovely family. They put up with me. I'm blessed for sure. Now, how did you know I was back on the radio?
Last weekend, I happened to run across plowing through the dial and I, well, that's a familiar voice right there. Hold on. That's Frank. Hold on. You're all right. I got to listen to this, so I listened to you last week.
Well, and you've obviously tuned back in again this week, and I'm grateful for that. I hope you can continue to listen. Who knows? Maybe I'll see you at the track again sometime soon.
Maybe one day you can share with your listeners your aspirations that had to do with the horse racing industry before you had your growth spurt.
I may do that now. I've got a couple of minutes. I love telling stories, so you led me to it. Conard, thank you. God bless you. So here's the deal. I grew up, I was always very short, and I grew up around, I just loved horses. And at a young age, I knew what I was going to be in my life. I was going to be a racehorse jockey. And back in the old days, I would cut out clippings from the newspaper and put it in scrapbooks of horse races. And I can tell you and recite some pretty crazy stats. The 1963 Kentucky Derby, I can tell you who won, who got second, third. I just kind of remember a lot of that stuff. But I wanted to be a racehorse jockey, as Conard was saying. We moved to Southern California. Maybe it's the sun out here and the beach. But, man, my sophomore to my senior year, I went from about 5'2 to 6'2. And I often joke, unless they're going to race Clydesdales, I realized, and I was devastated. It was my first moment where I was angry with God. You know, what are you doing, God? I'm going to be a racehorse jockey. You've ruined my plans. We have these moments in life where we get angry at God. So, next best thing. I played basketball, met some people. One guy in particular became a good friend. And I introduced him to thoroughbred racing. He is now still a very prominent trainer out here in Southern California. And one day he called me and said, I've got a racehorse that if you want to buy in shares, you have an opportunity. So I bought Fooley. We call him Fooley. His name is Who You Foolin'. And cheap claimer. I remember I used to get grief. You're a Christian and you own racehorses? Here's the truth. If you read my book, Light the Way Home, you'll know that I had a real struggle with gambling. When I gave my life to the Lord, I have not gambled one penny. I won't even play the lottery. But I love the racing industry. Racehorses are taken care of well. There is a buzz out there of ignorance that somehow they are not the case. And so I bought a small share of this racehorse. He did okay. At the end of the year, the primary owner let me buy him for a short price. We raced him a few times. He won a few races. And I made the commitment, if the Lord gives me the ability to take care of him, I will do that till he passes. And he's 15, and he's a sweetheart. And I still love horses now more than ever. My goodness, what a sweet animal horses are. 800, I almost say 888, that's the old station. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. I've got a minute before break. My old gig on air, the call letters and the frequency were close to when I worked at KLOS, and I only made one mistake on the air. I gave the wrong call letter. So I'm sure I'm going to do that once or twice here on my stint at KBC. May give out the wrong number. But we're thrilled to be here. This is the second show. If you miss any part of this or want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can go to KBC.com or you can go to my website, franksontag.com. We're going to have all the podcasts up. And so let me break a tad early. And when we come back, I want to talk about teachers, a story in the news, and also a football coach finally has received some justice in the battle and the struggle that he's been through. We will continue with more. Thank you for listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. I have a small area in front of me in the air studio, and I've got papers strewn everywhere. And this particular article is not numbered at the bottom. So I'm going to give you little bits and pieces of the story because the papers are out of order. There is a young teacher at a public school, and I will find out where it is because I was searching for the lead area. But in essence, here's the story, and I'll paraphrase. So this teacher teaches civics and history, and every morning there is the call, the national anthem, and the Pledge of Allegiance. So her 12 and 13-year-old students, the majority of them would not stand. And so she was tolerant. Her name is Sharon Davis. She teaches or taught at Central Dauphin East Middle School. I'll see if I can find out the actual location. Anyway, she put up with it, and then she decided to have a discussion among the students why they wouldn't stand. Well, in this day and age, 12 and 13-year-olds, of course, everybody's got TikTok, right? Some of the students began to post graphics on TikTok that the teacher was racist and homophobic and just made some stuff up to the point where the higher-ups at school called Sharon Davis into the office and said, "What's going on here?" Thank you. Art's on it. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Davis separated some of the students who'd been sitting together and talking during the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance. One of the students threw papers at the teacher, grabbed things out of her hands. Another student called her Karen. And so the posts on TikTok started to be prominent to the students of Central Dauphin East Middle School. "Let's get Ms. Davis fired. She's racist and has said many horrible things. None of the students enjoy having her either. She barely teaches correctly, and it's time that we get her fired. She needs to go." These are 12 and 13-year-olds. So the school board did their little review. They interviewed the student. Then they interviewed the teacher. And so the teacher has been temporarily suspended. Let's give Kathy McCool some props on the air. She's the school's director of human resources, wrote in a June 7th letter to Davis saying, quote, the student stated that you had been lecturing students who were not standing for the flag and making inappropriate statements to those that did not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And Davis says that's not the case. Said, I did not single out any one student. I used the teachable moment. Whatever happened to teachable moments? Whatever happened to respect for teachers? If you're a teacher right now, thank you and I pray for you, especially in the public school system. Davis said, my objective was to have open discussion about why our schools ask students every morning to please rise for the pledge to the flag. At no time did I make inappropriate comments to those who did not stand for the flag. She went on to say, I'm concerned that a student can so easily make inflammatory comments on social media about me and my character, which threaten my job, ruin my reputation, disrupt my rapport with my students, the school, and the outside community. So the school basically put her on unpaid administrative leave and basically said to her, it's not looking good. She does have legal representation. A man named Jeff Schott, a labor and civil rights attorney, said none of Davis's alleged conduct amounts to a violation of any rule, quote, except for the unspoken rule against open patriotism in Pennsylvania's woke public school system, end quote. Quote, in no way were the students' free speech rights not to stand or recite the pledge infringed upon by the teacher's explanation of why she believes the flag should be respective. To the contrary, Sharon's free speech rights were completely trampled by the school district, which has suspended her for expressing her views on matters of public importance and inviting debate as one would expect and hope for from a social studies teacher. The lawyer said she should be reinstated immediately with no loss in pay or benefits. It's not looking good, and she started a GoFundMe account. So let me quickly say this. And I guess I'm clearly stating I'm old on the air. I was raised in a private Catholic school where we had the paddles on the wall. Now, I'm not sitting here and standing for corporal punishment in this case, but all I can say is when 12 and 13-year-old students sit there, mock your teacher, won't stand for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, it's not hard to figure out why that is, right? The times we live in, the disrespect of our country. And I hope and pray for anybody listening to me right now that if you are a teacher, please persevere. Thank you for doing what you do. You are a hero that virtually goes unacknowledged. I'll tell you another hero, and we'll end on this story. Football coach Joseph Kennedy has been on my radio program previously a number of times. He was a high school football coach in Washington State, lost that position a number of years ago. Why? If you don't know the story, he had the audacity, after a football game, by himself, to walk out to midfield, kneel down, pray by himself for 10 seconds. And in successive games, some players would follow him out, completely voluntarily, and would kneel down. Well, we've not even begun on KBC to talk about the Freedom From Religion Foundation and a guy named Mikey Weinstein who hates God. And anytime something like this happens, boy, they start ranting and raving about separation of church and state. And anyway, Joe Kennedy's been persecuted for years, lost his job, not allowed to pray. The school would say, you know, you're making people uncomfortable. What about other religions? And I would say, if an imam walked to the 50-yard line to honor his faith of Islam, so be it. If it's voluntarily done But no, Christians, we tend to get a little persecuted in our country, and Joe Kennedy took the brunt of it. So he's gone through the courts, loss after loss. Years go by. He's a military veteran, has a pension that he's managed to sustain his livelihood. And now, finally, the Supreme Court ruled that his rights were violated. And it's a victory for religious freedom. The High Court held that the free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment protect anyone engaging in a personal religious observance from government reprisal. The court found that the U.S. Constitution neither requires nor allows governments to suppress such religious expression. And now all Joe Kennedy wants is his gig back. He wants to lead young men and develop them as warriors, if you will. So, finally, we live in a world where you kind of ask yourself, is there any justice anywhere here? Well, here's one. And yet you see other situations where it just seems like, you know, even law and order. We're broadcasting from L.A. County. My good friend John Phillips, afternoons here on KABC, talks a lot about, and we all need to recall George Gascon, this guy. And evidently there's enough signatures to send it to the ballot and vote on it, but the lack of respect, whether it's for law and order of authority, evil is running rampant, unchecked. And it will challenge anybody to kind of keep your wits about you and stand for truth and still love people. But I'll tell you, I've never been a big Second Amendment guy. It kind of makes you wonder. Law enforcement has a tough job. And if we somehow don't have the ability to protect ourselves, these are dark times. Very last thing, and we'll sign off. I was raised to respect law enforcement. They make mistakes. I get pulled over. Yes, sir. No, sir. And yet, it's not hard to figure out the lack of respect for authority and the lack of respect for law, the lack of respect for the government. By people in the government. That's the irony. These are challenging times. If you would like any type of resource information, if we can help you in any way, if you want to listen to this program, the podcast will be available at kbc.com and my site. To find out more information about what I do on and off air, franksontag.com is my website. I have a men's ministry. We have events coming up in the next few months. We are funded by nice people like you. We take no government funding, no large corporations. We're just here to teach men, show men that God has a purpose and plan for their lives. And do not buy the lies of the evil one. God is a God of reconciliation. We teach men to take ground back and step forward. If you'd like to find out more about what we do, like to be on my mailing list, maybe you want to share your thoughts about the radio program, send me an email. Just go to franksontag.com. Thank you for listening tonight. Lord willing, we'll be back here next Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific and many more Friday nights to come. It has been my blessing and honor and privilege to sit behind this microphone. And our second program is a wrap. So until next time, God bless you. Stay safe. And let's love each other. This is the Frank Sontag Show on AM 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore. AM 790 KABC.